Hallelujah. My wife's grandfather, Bruce, some of you might know Bruce, remember Bruce coming up, driving up from Sydney at age 97 during Christmas and in 96. He just had a knee replacement, 99 years old, 3 days ago, doing well, amazingly well. And I heard that when I was, praying for him, I actually heard the word pioneer. He actually was a part of the Battle of Bismarck Sea. He was in the Kokoda Trail, and he's an amazing man. He was telling me months ago how he was just upset at the younger people in the church, and he was rallying them and even picking them up to come to Bible study. And I just thought to myself, hey, grandfather, how old are the young people? He said, they're in their 70s. They've lost their way. In the 70s, 80-year-old have gotten slack, so I'm picking them up, taking them to Bible study. Yeah, okay. So it was amazing discussion. And then, I went to New Zealand and was involved with the HIM, his International Missions Conference. It's a network of about 70 churches globally led by a guy named Graham Davison. And I was blown away at what I saw in the local church that hosted this event, where it's the poorest of the poor. For those that are Kiwi, it's in Glen Innes. And, they give $100,000 a year to missions. This church that, man, a lot of people just don't have $2 to rub together. And I watched just, the heart of God, where this church is giving, and there's 37 ethnic people, groups represented in this one fellowship. And again, I heard the word pioneer. I watched my wife on Thursday night of this last week. She has a business called Inspired for Health. She's groundbreaking in that she's able to galvanize and had a panel of over 14 different healthcare professionals in different genres and circles and different ilks of medicine come together, and it was an amazing, success. And so many came to me and said, this is revolutionary, this is amazing. No one's ever gotten us all together for integrated health purposes, and no one's ever been as nice as your wife, Angie, that we just have to say yes, And so many professionals were at that event, and I want to honor my wife for being a pioneer. Yesterday, we had the privilege, my wife and I, to share at a forum of leaders, all women, who come together and are encouraged in business and in ministry and in life, and the Lord had me share on being a pioneer. I'm going to incorporate a little bit into today, but I really want to talk about trust and obedience. The Wright brothers, you remember the Wright brothers, the Kitty Hawk, 1903, they fly, media goes wild, they get all the publicity, they get attributed and credited with the first people that have flown. However, before that, there was other individuals that were given the opportunity and took it and flew in monoplanes to some degree, but didn't get accolades. One of them was a Kiwi. How many Kiwis we got in the house tonight, today? Cool. There's a lot of you. Is anybody left in New Zealand? No, that's good. And there's a guy named Richard Pierce. Richard Pierce, 8 months before December of 1903, actually flew 140 meters and landed in a place called Gorse. He landed in a place called Gorse. He lands his monoplane. And there's no media, there's no cameras, there's no newspapers. Richard Pierce had talent. How many believe you can't fly without some talent? He had some intellect. He was a groundbreaker. He was very ingenious. He was an amazing Christian man. And I've done some research on him since. I won't go into his life. But he didn't get any credit for the talent and the call and being a pioneer that someone 8 months down the road in the Wright brothers, which there was others that flew in America before them. You know, sometimes you can do the right thing with the right talent, being the right will of God, that you can actually have the backing and the ingenuity, and you don't get any accolade. And I really believe we're in a time where God's calling pioneers. I believe after I was there Friday night at the Fairfax Political Forum, we need new political parties. We need new, non-for-profits. We need new NGOs. We need new churches. We need new ministries. We need new, people answering the call in society. If God's a multiplier, we're real good at subtraction. We're great at division. We add everything that's not of God to our life, but really we're called to be multipliers. You, without multiplication, your body dies because your cells are multiplying. That's why it's important we feed our cells health so we can multiply healthy cells. But God's looking for people that are willing to do the journey, and the journey isn't about us dictating to God what, invention we come up with. God breathes inventions, just like flight. He wanted to prove in this timeline of history in 1903 that the law of flight was more powerful than the law of gravity. That God wanted humanity to spread the gospel using an airplane, for missionaries to be flown from one remote village to another, to cross borders, to have doctors that are available to regional areas. God had a plan. And God, when he sometimes breathes invention, he just doesn't give to one, he gives to many. And if you catch it, you need a thing called trust. It's called faith. We need faith to believe. But faith is a gateway to something else. We just don't have faith just to have faith. We need to have faith to lead us to obedience. Without faith, we'll never obey. And today I want to talk about trust and obedience. This woman named Kate Shepherd, if you look at the Kiwi note, forgive me, I'm Kiwi-ized because I was just there, but the $10 note, the face of Kate Shepherd's on that. Does anybody know what she did? She was an amazing Christian woman. She actually led the charge for women's right to vote in all of the Western nations. And in 1893, they passed a law saying that women had the right to vote, way ahead of America, way ahead of England, way ahead of Wales and Scotland and Australia. And it was a woman who had been given a desire of the Lord through experience of being, there's amazing, prejudice in the day against women, and there still is. But back in that day, there wasn't any close to semblance of rights for women to have a voice. And she's honored in the nation of New Zealand for giving her, her image to a note. But I believe she struck a note with the Lord's heart. I believe that God, spoke into her being, and by faith she captured something. In obedience, she endured amazing pressure. What kind of pressure do you think you would gain if we had a group of people this size in the council chambers and you stand up and make certain comments regarding Islam? What kind of pressure do you think you would feel today? Or how about we live in an amazing society, a society that I behaved myself, Joel. They gave me a question. I asked the question on behalf of the pastor's fraternal about abortion and euthanasia and what their value of life was and how they were going to preserve life from the womb until the dying day. There are many times I wanted to ring a bell or throw a flag at some of the unbelievable, special kind of stupid I heard out of people's mouth. That we have to trust that we're going to be, not so nice to be mute. So let me get this straight. You want to have the right for over your own body to have an abortion or have euthanasia as your right, but you want to take my right away to talk when I want to talk and how I want to talk and how I want to deliver it. Oh, that's interesting. And that's where we live. We live in an age of totalitarianism. You know, the demonic wants to take away your ability to live the way God wants you to live with freedom, you know, of thought and speech and action. And God's a God of freedom, and God's calling us to, by faith, to trust and obey. Romans 12:3, God has allotted to each measure of faith. So God's given us all faith, hallelujah. It's the faith he gives that he says, put back in me. Believing for things that we cannot yet see, we cannot yet grasp, but the evidence of it is there. How many believe that it's dark days? How many believe it's going to get darker? But at the same time, it's going to be exorbitantly light. This is the ironic thing. I think in some of our minds, we have to compartmentalize. This happens first, then this. But I think it's simultaneously. I still believe the West is going to experience, as well as the East, the greatest revival she's ever seen, as well as the greatest oppression to the gospel we've ever seen. I mean, there's all sorts of crazy in the States. It's here. I've seen it in Australia. I've hearing it out of people's mouth that call themselves Australian, that they want to eradicate any semblance of the scripture. Why is that? Because it's a standard of truth, and everybody wants to do what's right in their own eyes. So you know, I listen to politicians on Friday saying, no, I don't stand on the word of God first. I stand on my own conscience. We're in trouble if you're going to let lead me based on your conscience, because your conscience is the same as my conscience, and we're both in a lot of kumchi. You know what I'm saying? We're in a lot of problems if we're going to be left to go off the word of God. Psalm 119 says, this is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. Can I encourage us that this just doesn't happen if I do this? That's not doing a darn thing for me except messing up my hair. You know, or if we have one, or if we carry one on a phone or in pages, please, please, let's be those that read it and apply it to our life. Matthew 21:22, and whatever you ask for in prayer, you will receive if you have what? Faith. Faith that God gives us, we place back into him. 2 Corinthians 5:17, for we walk by what? Faith and not by sight. You have to, and I have to, keep walking even though all around me it looks like cray-cray, and let's just take the rest of life off. Have you ever had that thought? Let's just stay in bed for like how long? Oh, about 30 years. That'd be good. I found out I'm good at this word. Listen to me. This is really what I'm good at. No. In case you didn't catch it, this is what I'm really good at. Nah. David, why don't you go to Australia? Nah, I'm not going to do that. I want you to pastor. Nope. Don't want to do that. I want you to start a business. I ain't going to start a business. I want you to get married. I ain't getting married. You know, we default to our amazing ability of our free will that God's given us. And God's calling us, you know, to do some things that have not been done before. God's calling us to be stretched by the faith he gives us. You know, the faith that God gives us stretches us. You know, it talks about prophesying to the measure of the faith you've stretched to. That's what it really, in the Greek, it means. Prophesy to the measure of the faith that's been given, you know, that you've exercised. God wants us to exercise more faith and belief in him. Hebrews 11:6, and without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Faith is absolutely incomplete without obedience. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. James 2, 26. Obedience always follows genuine faith. Whether we say no and then do it, we see a parable about that. I'm finding more and more God's pretty smart. He has a way of sneaking up on me, of sharing with his amazing ability of unpackaging his love to remind me it's not about me, but it's about him and others. John 10:27, Jesus said, "My sheep, what? Know my voice." And so there are certain things I want to share with you. Is like if you hear something or you receive something from God, you have faith and you want to obey. Here's my question. How do you know it's from God? Not back here in this office, not too much, but in my life, man, I've heard some things that, you know, people say that they believe God told them to do or say or go somewhere. And I ask them, please share with me your confirmation. How does your knower know? How did you get the support to press the green button of go? And, you know, again, left to just our conscience, you know, we're in trouble. One of the first places we need to take it to is God's word. You know, God will never go against his own word. Now, I've actually had people try to describe to me, because they want an escape clause out of their marriage, why God told them they can divorce their husband or wife and marry someone else because they want a trade-in. God will never, you know, go against his word. He's faithful to his word. It's the first place we look for confirmation. We need to be people of his word. Secondly, God will use other people to help confirm to you if it's your time to have faith and then obey, to press the green button of go. He will use prophecy. He will use words of knowledge. He will use encouragement. He will use words of wisdom. Jeremiah 29:13 says this. This is our part, though. We must seek God. If there's ever a time to seek God, it's now. We must seek God. Jeremiah 29:13 says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart." Thirdly, there's a plan of God for our life. How many know there's a plan of God for you? There is a plan of God. If that is revelation, so be it. But there's a plan of God. Proverbs 16:9 says, "In his heart a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps." And you know, there's decisions that we can make, but God determines the steps of humanity. You know, he's an amazing influencer. He brings people around to support you at the very moment you need support. How many have found that to be true? And if no man comes to support you, you can feel his presence in prayer. It says in Scripture in Hebrews, he ever liveth to make prayer, intercession for you. You have the best intercessor in all of creation, God himself praying for us. But there's a plan of God for our life. Circumstances, you know, circumstances God uses to direct and to influence us. 1 Corinthians 16:8-9. "But I will stay on at Ephesus until Pentecost, because a great door for effective work has opened to me, and there are many who oppose me." Wait a minute. That is not a theology of there's no resistance, so it must be God. And there's people that live, if there's no resistance, that must be the path of God. That is not scripture where I read Paul saying, "No, I'm going to stay here where there's a lot of opposition. I know it's God because I'm going to stay right here. I'm not going to move from Ephesus. I'm actually going to stay here because there's great opposition." How many would have picked that choice this morning? "Now, there's a lot of haters. I got to be here. There's a lot of haters today, so I'm just going to stay right here in Nambour. A lot of people hate me." That's what Scripture says. That Paul decides that he's not going to leave because of the opposition. Being supported, being applauded, or being booed, boo, is not the confirmation that we seek. See, Paul had it in his heart. Paul knew that he was supposed to stay by the Spirit of God. There was something within his heart that he knew he had to stay in Ephesus till Pentecost, even though things opposed him. You know, in the day we live, how many would like a deserted island with a lot of supply of fruit and veggies and maybe a little meat and just stay there till it all passes over? Hey, I've been over to New Zealand, all you Kiwis. I know why you left. They got a problem over there. Oh, Aussie, we are in trouble, Aussie. This is the greatest, most important vote coming up in our history right here. The determination of the way it's going to go for the church and for all the Christians is upon us. Well, this move to Wales. They're safe up there. Wait a minute. Joel's been to Wales. He could tell you. This go to the States. Have you lost your mind? If Trump wins, we only got about 4 more years after that, and then maybe a lot of crazies coming. How about Israel? Oh, can't go to Israel. They just shot a whole bunch of rockets. Can't go there. Where do you go? It's called Him. It's called Jesus. If you're in Jesus' will, everybody, this is my whole kind of MO of why I exist. I really want to encourage people to receive the communication of the Holy Spirit for your life, because you're going to be in a great position to trust and obey. And that's the whole goal of life. Confirmation helps. The Word of God, Psalm 119:105. Get godly wisdom. We all need people speaking in our lives. We all need fathers and mothers in the faith. We all need big brothers or sisters that have got our back. And so, you know, Proverbs 15:22, there's wisdom in the counsel of many. Romans 15:13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him. Do you know when you trust in the Lord and you're being led of the Lord, there will be an amazing joy and peace that will be a part of your life. Here's what I tell people. Satan will push you. Jesus will lead you. Psalm 23. In Romans, there's a peace that resides right in your inner man. Some call it your inner man. Some call it your spirit man. Okay, but you're a tripartite being, your body, soul, and spirit. And so God's Spirit wants to give a resounding knowing within your spirit. How do you know you're saved? Because my spirit within me recognizes the Spirit of the living God, and I know I am a son. That's how you know. That's what Scripture says in Romans. Very clearly. That my spirit bears witness with God's spirit that I'm His. If you have that tonight, or today, you have the assurance that God wants to afford to you. It says that He gives you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's important because here's what I'm supposed to be an influencer to you. You're supposed to be an influencer to me. As you overflow with expectation that God is God and He's going to do it. There are amazing accounts of God's miraculous provision of people going to a cupboard or going to where they store food and food just has appeared. I've told the story several times. My spiritual parents, Daryl and Marjorie Reynolds, needed an amazing amount of windfall of cash to take care of all these missionaries as part of this organization out of upstate New York. And it was falling as they were driving. Greenbacks, dollar bills, American dollar bills, fell from the trees, leaves, and they picked it up in grocery bags, and they had just enough to pay all the missionaries when they were so short. Hundreds of missionaries on the field. It happened in 1992. So God's the God of miraculous. But what if you're like my dear friend Nick now? Here's my brother in Christ, and he's seeking the Lord, and nothing happens. There's many times in my life when, you know, there's no lightning strike, thank God, to me or anyone around me, you know, or fireworks, or the angel with the ba-ba-ba-ba, thus saith the Lord, go left. You know, everyone's looking for the, you know, angel. You know, and so this can, you know, be confused with, you know, a simplistic message, and it's very simple. Trust and obey. There's no other way to put our faith that he gives us back in him. But looking for confirmation of how to be a pioneer, how are you going to set on course that he's called you to? I believe we got too many settlers. I believe God's calling pioneers in the day we live. I believe God's embarking on an amazing, you know, launch. This is the year of launch. He's launching several people. Now's the time. But you got to know and get it confirmed to your life of how do you know? 1 John 2:27, that there's, again, my spirit bears witness within me. We mentioned God leads. The devil pushes. Psalm 23, John 14, John 15, John 16. The Holy Spirit's our what? Teacher. He's our guide. He's our comforter. Okay, you can be told to do a very daunting thing. So if you have $1 million, I guarantee you he's going to call you to do a $2 million project. It's not by our human effort and resource. He's the head of the church. He builds his church. He builds his people. We look at Saul. Saul was one of the greatest persecutors of the church. Saul becomes Paul. And amazingly, you know, he uses this guy, Ananias. You never heard of him before. You don't hear of him after. He has the most amazing prophetic detail, insight that you can almost find in Scripture, Ananias, about Saul. And Saul knows Ananias, a guy's coming. And an amazing portion of Scripture that says in Acts, you read Acts 8 and 9, do your homework. He says that God tells Ananias, you got to tell this guy how much he's going to suffer for the message, for the cause. You know, I'm reading through Scripture. I'm reading in the time and day that we look at, you know, I look at Noah, incredible guy, go build a boat. A what? Yeah, it's going to rain. What's rain? It's going to flood. What's a flood? Just build the boat. What's a boat? You know, you can imagine. Never seen a boat. Never seen flood. Never seen rain. 120 years. No one's coming to, you know, any kind of semblance of godliness. Abraham, leave. Leave where? Leave where you are. I'm rich. Get going. When am I going to stop? When I tell you. What? Okay. Where are we going? That's not faith. Okay, stop. 3 days. Hey, go bring a sacrifice. Take your son. Where's the sacrifice? Look at your son. You know, this amazing kind of unfolding of trust and obedience to God. I think that, you know, there's a lot of blood, sweat, and tears in following Jesus. I don't think you can negate that. But the result God wants to bring in my own life and through your life and my life as we trust and obey is not blood, sweat, and tears to those we're brought to, but it's healing, rest, and laughter. God's a God of healing. God's a God of rest. God's a God of laughter. And can I say, anything God calls us to, if we look like we sucked a whole bunch of lemons doing it, I think we do God an injustice. They're going to be tough stuff. It's not going to negate laughter. I bet not. We serve the God of joy. Hallelujah. You know, the joy set before him, Jesus going to the cross. There was a joy, can I say, that's just unspeakable. We can't understand it in the Father's heart because he thought of us at the end result of the sacrifice. Blood, sweat, and tears brought my healing, brought my rest, and brought my laughter. Today, everybody, we are in an incredible day. It's actually the day the prophets long to live in, to see this, to see what happens to a people group after the resurrection and the ascension of Jesus. Well, here we are. Yeah, I like a pension. Yeah, I would love to travel more. I'd, with my wife on holiday, I'd love to have, you know, a better car and I don't know, something different. I don't know, a gazebo. I don't even know what the hell a gazebo is, but let's get a gazebo in my backyard. Fine. That's great, hey? put a cupola on top of my house. That'd be great. Look 360 in every direction. Everyone's like, what the hell is a cupola? I don't know. Look it up. Google it. I know what it is. The thing is that it's, you know, we live in this modernism, and they kept saying, in a modern world, in a modern world, in a modern day, in a you guys, there's no school like the old school. His name's Jesus. What's the matter with you? And so you've got to be people that stand and say, no, I'm going to trust and obey God. I don't have the bills, but I'm not going to stop tithing. I don't have the means to do this, but I'm not going to stop praying, believing God's called me to that. There's a lot of opposition. I've found some more opposers in my life since we've started Mountain Collective and some other things, and you go digital and you take your life in your own hands, and I'm glad God's changed my wonderful personality to be like, yeah, so what, bring it on, because I ain't going nowhere, you know? A tenacity to stand and say, yeah. The haters doesn't dictate to me it's time for me to leave. The Holy Spirit dictates to me it's when it's time to go and where to go and how to go. And he bears witness with my spirit, and he never goes against his word. And he wants me to bring an amazing atmosphere change through your life, hallelujah, of healing, rest, and laughter through the power of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. I'm going to ask you to stand if you're so dare. It's a dangerous prayer I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask that the Lord, you know, stir our heart for our life from which his heart is stirred about us. And Lord, we just commit our way to you. We just say, Lord, here we are. We're all very simple. Lord, it's the simple message of the gospel that say Jesus Christ is the only way, and please ready your heart and life, people of earth, for the soon coming King, because he's returning for those who love him and know him. And I praise you and thank you, Lord. There's a stir. I thank you for pioneers in this room. Doesn't matter the age. Pioneers, even in the natural, of 99 years old, having a knee replacement in the natural, inspiring acts. Inspiring action and verbiage and conversation. Lord, I thank you that you would resource us with more of you, that you would stir a heart within us for more prayer, more of your word, that we would live a standard that says there is a holy God who uses broken people to change and become more like our Savior to his glory. I thank you, Lord God, for every marriage represented, every parent, Lord, every person, every relationship, Lord, with you in the room, and those yet to be fastened by your grace. I thank you, Lord God, that you would stir us in the hour to see the gravity, but yet not lose joy. Lord, to have hope. Lord, to embrace your word like an anchor to our life. To be polite, but yet not mute. To be bold and courageous. Lord, the resurrection, life, and power, allowing us to be bold, let it be applied to our life, that we would clearly speak, this is truth beyond modernism and materialism and people's conscience. Jesus is to be worshiped and adored. We praise you and thank you, Lord God. We're born for such a time as this. May we find ourselves being led and confirmed in your way more and more in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah.